Isaiah 53:3-6. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. The word of God for the people of God.
Today we're going to be continuing our series on the blood. On the blood of Jesus. And again, what's all that mean? How does it, what is that? Kelly talked about it. He really tried to bring home exactly with a lot of relevance today. Last week, Anya brought some more. But I'll just be honest with you. I did not really grasp the blood. I mean, I grew up Catholic, and so the Catholic would believe that the communion elements are actually the actual blood and actual bread of Christ. As a kid, that didn't quite, I'm like, okay, that's what we're supposed to believe, but it didn't quite, I'm like, okay, this is weird, even as a kid. And but the thing is, I'll tell you, even when I became a Christian, I gave my life to the Lord, possibly led back to God. I don't necessarily know that. I think there was possibly a conversion that happened when I was younger in Catholicism, but whatever you want to call that, when I came back in my early 20s, I was in a setting where people talked about the blood of Jesus. We sang songs about it. So there's power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. So it's like, so I sang those songs, and I believed in the power, but I didn't necessarily understand. It didn't quite sink, it was still a little weird. I'll just be honest with you, it's still a little weird. What's this blood thing, and why is the blood there, and what's it all about? And I mean, on paper, I could understand the symbolism and why and, all that stuff, and Kelly got into that stuff. And I'll tell you that even now, after all this, now however many years later, we're looking 30 years later, still at times it seems it's a little weird to talk about it, just because culturally we don't deal with that. And so I just want to put that out there ahead of time that, hey, this is a little weird, but I still believe that that may seem like that's an ancient thing, but I believe it's still relevant today. It's still relevant. When we look at what the blood of Jesus is, why Jesus' blood had to be shed, and what that means for us, it is actually very relevant. It's as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. So last week, Anya shared about how the blood helps us overcome our sinful will and also helps us overcome our trauma. So today I want to talk about two things. Christ's blood was shed for us to be free from the hellish grip of sin and death. And that Christ's blood was shed at the cross, canceling out our sin and helping us to overcome our shame. So one thing I think we all understand about the blood, we all understand that when we get wounds, what happens? If we get cut, what happens? We all bleed. So we understand if there's wounds that break the flesh, we bleed. And even if there's wounds strong enough, they might not even break the flesh. We might bleed internally. Wounds cause blood to happen. So the thing is, we can see here that Jesus suffered many wounds, many, many wounds. Anya just read a passage from, I'm going to read from Isaiah 53:5. It says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And I think we could say all these things, by his blood we are healed. Those wounds shed blood. So there was shedding of blood there. We all, if there's wounds, we have shedding of blood. So we know that Jesus was brought, he was part of the punishment the Romans did. They brought him and had him whipped. So this is very clear in three of the Gospels, and it's a very clearly alluded to in one of, in the other Gospels. So Jesus was whipped. But thing I want to point out, this whipping was not like what we might think. Some versions say scourge, some say other things, but it wasn't necessarily what we think of this. It wasn't, I remember as a kid, and I think it's happened to me a few times as an adult, but you know, you take the wet towel and you whack. Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it? That hurts. And so often we think of that type of thing. Or let's go on even another level. Often we think of it like a bullwhip. That would potentially hurt even more. Big old pow and hit. But that's not what happened. It was worse. I'm sure many in here know, and I'm not going to go into every detail, but I'll just tell you, it was the whips they used had chunks of bone and other things so weaved into the leather so that when they hit, it dug in, and when they pulled the whip back, it took flesh with it. So this whipping was not just a little pow from a wet towel. It wasn't a paddle. It wasn't anything else. This was brutal. This was brutal. And it drew blood. Jesus shed blood for us. He shed blood for us. And I'm going to tell you, there's still power in that blood that Jesus shed for us. Even if you don't understand it, I'm just going to tell you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. So what I like is the fact that what Jesus went through sort of covers everything. So if you sort of follow me here for a minute, I think that we, because we have different words being used here that are similar, these different words, they all sort of mean sin to us. So I think we often read this as he was pierced for our sins and he was crushed for our sins. And guess what? There is some truth to that. They both are related. They are all sins. But there's a great underlying message, I believe, that's here. If we just stop and take a look at it for a moment, think about it. So we have these terms that are used in the Bible, and there's other terms too, but three main terms: sin, transgression, and iniquity. So what's the difference? Well, sin means to miss the mark. Again, we're just doing a brief overview here. Transgression means to willfully engage in sin. And iniquity means willfully engaging in sin and to continue to choose to do it on after. So not just one instance. So the best way, as I was putting this together, praying about it, the best thing I could come up with an example was going to school. Now, I struggled in school. I wasn't dumb or anything, but I just struggled. I just didn't like teachers. They told me what to do. I didn't like doing homework. You know, I made an A on the test. How come I need to do my homework? Yeah, of course, we have at least two possible teachers in here might have a different opinion on that. But that's how I felt as a kid. If I can ace my test, why do I need to do homework? So, but I struggled. But sin, if we just want to relate it to school, is basically I didn't apply myself. If we're just talking sin in general, I didn't apply myself in school as well as I should have. Sort of missed the mark. So when we see usually what's translated as the word sin, it usually means something along that. So transgression is sort of like I studied, but not quite enough. So I wrote some down, some of the answers on my hand, so I could cheat a little bit on my test, the ones I didn't know, because I didn't study well enough. Sort of a willful thing. But then you have the iniquity, and that's where I'm not going to study at all. I'm going to have someone else do my homework. I'm going to cheat on every test in any way I can. And so we have these differences of things. Now, what I like about the message here, what I think is this amazing underlying message in the passage, is that Jesus shed his blood for all sins. All sins. Whether sin, transgression, iniquity, doesn't matter what it was, Jesus shed his blood for all of them. All of them. Not just the little ones. not just the ones that are moderate to horrible, but he shed his blood for those things that you maybe never tell another soul in your life that you did. The type of sins that might get you killed if people knew you did it. The type of sins that would have you in prison for the rest of your life. The things that maybe you've only told one or two people ever. Jesus died for all of them. All of them. I think here in this passage, that's one of the things. That's why I sort of lay out these different things in different levels, because it's all sin he died for. So no matter what you've done, no matter what's in your past, Jesus' blood was shed for those sins. So as I've said before, without Christ and his sacrifice of shedding his blood for me, I'll tell you what, I would either be dead, as in like murdered, or possibly an drug overdose, one of the two, or I'd be in jail or prison. I mean, I am fully convinced without the redeeming work, because even then, I could have, if I didn't have that forgiveness, I could even have made some commitment to Christ, but without that work, without the power that's in the blood of Jesus through what he shed, I guarantee you that would have happened. I'm fully convinced of that. And again, when we're talking about some of those things I could freely share with you, some of those things are some of those things that, guess what, only a couple people will ever know. I'm just telling you, there's some pretty bad stuff there. But Jesus' blood set me free from those things. Set me free. So Christ's blood was shed to free us, again, from the hellish grip of sin and death. And when I say hellish, I mean hellish. Look at the suffering in the world. Look what we just went through and talked about in Joel. If we look around, there is a hellish grip of sin on people, of sin and death on people. And many of you have probably even experienced that hellish grip of it, or know people who have. So Christ's blood was shed for that. He can heal the deepest hurts, the deepest traumas, the biggest bondages of our lives. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. His blood not only has the power to set us free from our past hurts, trauma, and bondage, but it is permanent. It is final. It is forever. It is finished. Here in John 19, it says, later, knowing that everything had been now finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop, of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed and gave up his spirits. His blood that was shed, it's done. It's done. I'll tell you, some of those things, the deliverance I had, I'll just tell you, it happened in an instant. When God set me free. Now, I became a Christian and God set me free of some things. There was other bondage that I had that was pretty bad. And I knew that God had a plan for my life. I already knew that God wanted me to be pastoring, head towards ministry. I knew this, and I was like, God, I cannot do this unless you set me free from this. I need to be set free. Now, what I will tell you, this could be encouraging to some of you, is that it took me 9 months of praying every day, seeking God every day, and crying out to God, basically saying, I can't do this. I need you to do a work in my life. And then one day in the midst of worship, it was like the heavens opened up, and God came into my being, and he just set me free in such a powerful way. And I'm just telling you, it was amazing. It's amazing, and that's what happens through the power of the blood of Jesus. It's there to set us free from all of our sins. Again, some of us might have a journey to get there. But I'll tell you what, when he set me free, I was free. And I was free indeed. I was free indeed. Bible in Colossians 2, it says, you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. That then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of our sins. So again, God cut that part away from me. He came into my most inner being, a place that was locked up, and he just came in and removed. He just removed that. So Ted Roberts, who we're pulling a lot of this information from, actually a local guy, if you want to look him up, he's a local guy, but he, in his book, Pure Desire, but he talks about some of this this cleansing that happens. He says, the cross is infinite in its depth, because it is the total expression of God's grace to us in Christ. The word that is used for canceled, in other words, canceling sin, is a technical term of that day. It refers to the process of washing a piece of parchment, piece of paper, clean for reuse. Not only was the parchment clean enough to be written on again, it showed no evidence of having ever been written on in the first place. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's the way God cleans. That's the way the blood cleanses us. It cleanses us. The cleansing flow. We still have songs, even a couple of songs we sing, our newer songs, but I know the hymns talked a lot about the blood. And I think we saw more there because a lot of people were even, they understood better, the farmers and that type of stuff. But I'll tell you something about this cleansing flow. May seem like I'm running off track here, but I'm not. I'll pull it back in. But my dad, he's a ham radio operator, and he's several times, when there's disasters around the world, phone lines go down and communication systems fall apart, he'd hop on the radio and start communicating stuff. People looking for lost family members, whatever else, helping the government sometimes, different things. So he'd always do that and take time off work to do it. And I remember in 1985, we had the Mexico City earthquake. And by the way, horrible earthquake for Mexico City. 5,000 people ended up dying. And just to give you an idea, there's a picture here. 412 buildings in the city were totally demolished. We look at that picture. I mean, that's what we mean by demolished. So we're not talking about like part of them fell down. 412 buildings. There were thousands of other buildings that were partly broke, but demolished like that. So 412 buildings demolished. We're talking utter. Now it could sound like we're going back to Joel talking about destruction, but I'm going to pull it back in here. So what does all this I'm saying have to do with the blood of Jesus? Well, I was trying to find numbers, and I couldn't find them on the number of people that lost limbs and stuff from being crushed by the buildings. But the interesting thing about when people are in buildings like that and the limbs get crushed, if a leg gets pinned, is that often once enough hours go by, they actually have to cut, they have to amputate, they have to do it right there. Because without the blood going into the leg, all the toxins that are normally happening from chemical reactions, the lactic acid, the other things are building up and building up and building up. They're not getting cleansed because of the blood. And if they take the pressure off, even if that leg could still survive, at some point in time, and they know how many hours in, but at some point in time, when the blood comes in and that sends all those toxins back, it's so bad that it kills you. The thing is the blood, if you want to help, again, try and bring these ancient things to relevance. The blood may seem ancient, but we can look even at modern science and what we know about that and see that the blood of Jesus is still relevant. There's ways that modern science just shows to us clearly that the blood cleanses us. And I know there's several people who know family members or even people in this church on dialysis, just knowing, getting the blood cleansed. It's there to clean all the toxins out. And if other organs don't work, we have to that. But the primary thing that's doing that through our body, it's traveling through our blood to get out of there. So the blood is a cleansing flow, even just naturally. Without talking about Jesus forgiving our sins and cleansing us, it is a cleansing power. It is a cleansing power. Hebrews 12:2 says, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside the throne. He endured the cross. He sacrificed his blood, disregarding its shame. So Christ's blood washed away any record of previous sins and charges against it. And that's why the cross of Jesus is really the only answer that lies to the shame at the very core of our being. Very core of our being. There's a lot more, there's all types of stuff you can often think about saying. I knew this would be a shorter message because I think it's simple. It's simple. But I'll tell you that one of the things about shame, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing I think culturally, there's probably a couple very strongly, but that are destroying the church today, it's shame. It is shame. Because when we have shame, when we don't put that shame under the blood of Jesus, Jesus' blood has forgiven us of that. It has set us free. It no longer exists. If we don't do that, then guess where we don't turn to? We go back to the Garden of Eden. What did they do when they realized that they'd sinned? They went and hid. And so when we don't realize the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus and the power that's there, where don't we go? We don't go to the source that's there. So I just want to tell you, this would be one of the biggest takeaways, even though I'm saying very little about it, total in the end, but you have forgiveness. Each and every one of you have forgiveness available to you. It's immediate. It is final. It is finished. Don't let sin keep you from running to the source. Don't go running away from it. God is saying, hey, I sacrificed my life for you. I sacrificed my life for you so that you could be set free. Come to me. Come to me. I shed my blood for you. Come. Experience what I've done for you. So we have, we're going to be celebrating the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus, the cleansing blood of Jesus today with communion. I want to have everyone, we're going to have them sing a little bit, but here in a minute, and then I want us all to take it together. So if you just want to come up and grab the communion, once most people have come up, I'll come back up. But just want to close my message just with this scripture. Is not the cup of thanksgiving, this cup of thanksgiving, for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Jesus? 1 Corinthians 10:16. Lord, I just pray today that there's things that we will never fully understand, especially at least while we're here. But Lord, I pray that you would give each of us a new revelation of the power that's in your blood.